Welcome to Let's Talk Clothes, a podcast where each week I sit down with my guest to talk about their relationship with clothing. This week, my guest is Caitlin McGuire. Caitlin is a visual artist, color enthusiast, and cat owner. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Gabby.
I know, it's so funny. I always feel so strange when I'm just like, and here is my, like, script voice.
I know. It's like phone voice. Customer service voice.
I go, what do I do? Maybe it's similar. I feel like this is, like, my, like, sultry jazz.
A little lower register.
Like, yeah, this is, like, my jazz radio voice, whereas
customer service goes higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Where you're like,
hello.
How can I help you?
Yeah.
And then slowly as the conversation goes on and it gets more and more inane, you're like, no, 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 that is not policy.
Or if it's a regular customer, it's like,
yeah,
you just go into, oh, hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Casual. Yeah.
All right. So first things first, can you tell me about your current outfit?
Sure. I'm wearing a rainbow mock turtleneck that I got at a store called Monkey. M-O-N-K-I in Finland. It's a really weird, wacky, wonderful clothing store that's full of bright colors and textures, and I went with my cousin. I've been to Europe once.
Okay.
Goodness. And it was to visit my cousin Skyla, who's about 10 years younger than I am, and is more like my little sister.
Okay.
My cousin. She was just nannying on a farm in a rural area in Finland for years. I just went to go visit her for a little bit. And we went shopping on the last day that we were there. And I'd already been shopping and I saw the shirt on the way out. And I went back and bought it because I had to have it.
Nice.
Yeah. And they don't ship to Canada. So
okay.
I know. It's very sad. And then the pants I'm wearing are, they're red American Apparel jeans.
Yeah.
Which I got years and years and years ago, and they're still in the same condition as when I bought them, and they're super comfy and high-waisted, and...
That's impressive.
Yeah. Well-made clothing.
Terrible company, but,
terrible,
you know.
Terrible human running the company. Terrible policies.
Yeah.
They did make some good clothes.
I know, I never shopped there, but I feel like I got, like, they were the common one for, like, band merch.
Yeah.
And so, I, like, tangentially, or, like, by affiliation, have a bunch of, like, American Apparel, like, hoodies and t-shirts and stuff.
I avoided it for a while because it was, like, that's where the cool kids kind of worked, and I'm not a cool person. And,
yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. Anyway, so, but I... They make really good pants. Like, that was the thing. Like, I wanted high-waisted pants because I've got a lot of hips.
Yeah.
And I don't... Like, I remember being in junior high when everything was low-waisted and just how awful that was. Like, you bend over and it's like, here is everything. And, like, you're constantly pulling at yourself. High-waisted pants that sit around your actual waist?
Yeah.
Come on. So, at the time, like, again, I think you can find it more now, but then it was, like, only American Apparel. Or, like, if you got really lucky when you were thrifting that you could find something.
Yeah. Lots of color, which I'm very much enjoying. Have you always dressed this colorfully?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I'm a painter, and so color is one of my favorite things, and I teach color theory.
Yeah.
But I've always enjoyed bringing color into my wardrobe. Like, if there is a color option. Like,
yeah.
If it's, like, here's, like, a pair of shoes, and it comes in black or brown or red, I'm going for the red pair.
Yeah.
Because I think it's way more fun, like, to try and make that work.
Yeah.
You know, black and brown are very easy to incorporate into your wardrobe because they go with everything and they're nice neutrals, whereas, like, a bright color might not be. So it's almost like creating a puzzle in your wardrobe.
I love that.
I was definitely, like, drawn to color. I've always been a weird kid and a weird dresser, so.
I think maybe it's because we were talking about... So, like, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and Riverdale. Yeah. Do you watch Riverdale?
Yes.
Sorry. Whenever someone says, like, I'm a bit of a weird kid, all I can think of is a horrible Jughead monologue where he's like, I'm weird.
Yeah.
I'm weird. Why do you like me? Because I'm so weird.
It's like, why do you like me? I'm weird.
Shut up with your weird, like,
it's like Jughead,
Boo Radley
angst. Other people are weird, too. You will find your weird people.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, my gosh. I just feel like the writing on that was really bad. Like, his acting is pretty decent, but sometimes the writing, you're like, What?
Yeah. There's a podcast called Teen Creeps. Yeah. Okay. So Teen Creeps, as you know, it's Pulp Fiction, like young adult novels. So all the shit I read when I was a kid. So it's like Sweet Valley High, like, but like the spooky ones. So like Christopher Pike books, like all those books were like, you know, where it's like teenagers and murder and all of that stuff.
You know, common things.
Casual things. But what was I? Oh my God. I was on a train of thought with Riverdale. Oh, so they talk about like bad writing, like, because some of those books are so bad, right? Because a lot of them have ghostwriters. And that moment made me think of like one of those really bad, like pulpy kind of like teen books where it's like, weird, like, you know, setting up this character in a certain way, but it's like, dude, chill out.
Yeah, and like, I think especially that show is a bit strange because like it's still trying to use like that 50s aesthetic, but it is very much set in contemporary times.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, especially with, like, social media, that idea of, like, a weird kid doesn't exist in the same way it did when we were kids, where it's just, like, if you like off-brand stuff or if you like kind of unbeaten path, like, pop culture, you will find your tribe so much more easily and probably within your school or, like, within your town or wherever. Whereas I think when we were growing up, it was like, if you liked this thing, there was maybe one other kid who liked it.
Yeah.
And I feel like possibly, like, being deemed a weird kid is more about, like, social competency rather than what pop culture you are consuming or, like, what activities you are participating in.
Absolutely. Yeah, when I was a kid in the 90s, a good friend of mine still teases me when she first met me. I was the weird kid because I had an asymmetrical haircut in elementary school.
Nice.
Yep. Great. From the mall. So it was like, it was not a good asymmetrical haircut, but it was an asymmetrical haircut.
Yeah.
And from a lady with shoulder pads in her blazer who was cutting my hair. I have such a vivid memory of her. Like, it's so funny. It was a big blue blazer and she had a matching skirt and she had the big black permed curly hair with the bangs that went up and down.
So like pure 80s?
Pure 80s in the 90s. And so I had an asymmetrical haircut, and then I would wear mismatched earrings. So I'd always wear, like, one stud and one very long dangly earring.
I'm into it.
Yeah, it was my look there for a while. It did not help me shake the weird label.
That makes me think, I don't think this got brought up when I interviewed her, but do you know Veronica Horseman?
Yes.
She was in photo. Okay, yeah. So I remember her describing how she used to dress when she was a teenager, and she was like, yeah, I would wear, like, these band t-shirts, and then she would roll the sleeves up and then pin them in place with mismatched brooches.
Oh, I love it.
I was like, you sound like the coolest kid. Like, what? So where did you grow up?
Except not to your peers at that point.
Oh, yeah, not to your peers. Like, in hindsight, you're like, you're a rad kid. But when you're in the moment, yeah, it's just like, who's this weirdo?
Yeah, I grew up in rural Nova Scotia.
Okay, yeah, maybe there's something about, like, being in, like, a rural community where you're like, whatever.
Yeah, I think, well, like, access to, like, you know, certain people go shopping, like, in Halifax or Moncton. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, and they go, like, get big brand name kind of things, and that was a really big aesthetic. Like, I remember in the fourth grade, the tearaway Adidas pants.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing. I kind of ebbed and flowed through, like, really tomboy kind of phases, and I think my wardrobe has always done that. Like, I've gone back and forth between, like, really kind of masculine looks and very feminine looks, like, on any given day. And I remember that when those track pants came, like, I got a pair of track pants, like, and I didn't do that very often, where I gave in to, like, whatever the cool thing was, but Adidas track pants and silver jeans were two things, like, in fourth grade and then eighth grade for the jeans that I did give in to. But I also had a matching, like, my winter jacket was an Adidas jacket, but it was, like, this, like, god-awful reversible jacket where, like, one side was black and then the other, on the inside, that could reverse.
Was, like, a plush gray?
Was this the gray, like, sweatpant material? Did you have this jacket?
I got it as a hand-me-down from my brother. The other iteration, I think, had, like, neon, like, lime green yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I had the black shell,
yeah,
and then the interior was, like, the gray. Did you ever get trapped in it?
No.
Oh my gosh, I got trapped in mine twice. Because, if you will let me go on a tangent, because it's a reversible zipper, so it flips.
And it's
really weak plastic. And I guess I would tuck my chin into my collar, and then I would chew on my zipper.
Yep.
And I would snap it, and the mechanism wouldn't work. So I remember one day in fourth grade, we didn't have lockers. We had, like, the hooks and cubbies outside of our classroom.
Yes.
So I came in from recess, and I didn't go in, because, like, my friend was trying to get me out of my jacket. And I guess my teacher, after a while, was like, where did these two go? And, like, checked the hall. And I'm just, like, trapped in my winter coat crying in the hallway.
You poor thing.
And I just remember I had this, like, indent on my face from trying to, like, pull it up over my head. But my head was too big to just, like, pull it off like a sweater.
Oh.
Anyway, you also had that jacket.
I had that jacket. And I love that jacket. And I'd wear that jacket with the pants. And oh, I've got three younger brothers. And people would tell my mother, because this is still when I had short hair.
Yeah.
Which I have now, but, like, kind of went back and forth with too. Yeah. Over my adolescence. That she had four very handsome sons. Which at the time I think bugged me more than it does now.
Yeah.
Now I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, you know. No. As far as, like, gender goes, I don't know. I feel like I am a... Come on in.
Yeah.
Sorry, letting kitties in. I am a cis woman, but I feel like gender is fluid and something that, like, you know, is just a construct that you can play with it. And it's much more fun when you let yourself play within gender instead of putting these stereotypes on yourself.
Yeah, I... My sister is 6.5 years older than me, and I, like, monkey see, monkey do. So, like, she got, like, a cropped haircut.
Yeah.
So I, when I was, like, 10, did that, and it was just, like, this was not a haircut for a 10-year-old, but I did it anyway. Yeah. And I remember I was, like, out at the park with some friends and, like, my siblings and stuff, and one of our neighbors who, like, lived down the street was, like, who's that boy? And I was just, like,
yeah,
I'm not a boy. But I think it was that thing of, like, I think whenever I had short hair, I like to dress much more femininely to be like, to compensate. No, I'm still lady. Whereas when I have my longer hair, I think I naturally feel much more feminine with longer hair.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, whatever. If I dress very like masculinely, I'm just like, who cares? But yeah, it is fun to play with gender that way. But I think also when you're, at least when we were growing up in like the 90s, it's just like very binary based.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there wasn't, like, anything openly kind of in between, I think, at that point.
No.
And when you're in a rural area, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's much more narrow-minded.
Yeah. Yeah.
To anything that's different, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
In any way.
Yeah. Oh, rural Nova Scotia. Yeah. Very beautiful, but, like, you've got some issues.
Yeah, I, like, even a few years ago, like, I was driving home with Dan, my partner, and I was driving, because he didn't have his license yet, and he went in to pay for gas, and the guy at the gas station was like, you let her drive?
What?
To which my partner, to his credit, responded, I don't let her do anything, but, like, it was like, he, and he came back and told me, and, like, I was upset, and he's like, don't, it's not worth your time to go in.
Yeah.
Like, I would have gone in and been like... put my fist down, you know, like, what do you mean he lets me drive? Well, you know, because I'm a little bit mouthier and a little bit more reactive than Dan is. But we drove away, but it was just like, honestly, like, you know, it's, this was probably like 2 or 3 years ago, and it's like, it's 2015, like, and people are still like, you let her drive.
I know, and the thing, like, the unfortunate thing is, there's probably some degree of seriousness to it, but, like, maybe he thought he was joking.
No, he did not.
Oh, he did not. No. Oh, no. Because, like, yeah, every so often in, like, rural East Coast, you, like, come across something and you're like, what?
Is,
like,
are you serious? Or, oh, you're not joking.
Yeah, the weirdest one I ever got was, like, when I was moving out there, and a lot of people, when I was saying, like, oh, I'm moving to Halifax, I'm moving to Nova Scotia, when I was 18, they were like, oh, it's so beautiful out there, everyone's so friendly, you're going to love it. And I was like, okay. And I walk away with, like, yes, everyone is very friendly, but you will always be from away.
Oh, yeah.
You will never be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone hates Ontario.
Yes.
Which I now understand the politics of that, but it's also just, like, I remember when I was, like, twice when I lived in Halifax, it was both times were, like, to be very frank, old white men.
Yep.
But it would be, like... oh, this is Gabby. She's from Ontario. Sorry about that.
Ugh, yeah.
And I was just like, the first time I said, like, that happened to me, it was like the week I moved to Nova Scotia. And I was just like,
welcome.
Don't know what to do. And then the second time was like a number of years later. It was the summer we worked together. And like, I went out to Cape Breton and like with the guy I was dating at the time and like met all his family. And yeah, it was one of his like very rural uncles and was just like, sorry about that. And
I
was like,
the Cape Breton uncles.
I'm fine with it. Like, I don't know.
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay with where I come from. Like, I don't know why you have a problem with it. Yeah. I moved to Nova Scotia when I was one.
Yeah.
So, and we moved from Ontario, and it was still, like, we aren't, like, we are part of the community, but we're not from there, you know? And it's, like, I've literally, like, I lived there for 30 years of my life, and, like, I still get teased that I'm not from Nova Scotia.
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm just like...
Yeah, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, when you're one, like, you don't have any cognitive memories or anything. All of my memories are from Nova Scotia.
Yeah, like, I remember my parents' first house was in a small town north of where I grew up called Keswick, which was known as, like, Hicksville, basically.
Yeah.
So, once my brother was born, they moved into, like, the current home that I grew up in and everything. And that my mom is still in. And... But I remember my sister in high school because there was no high school in our town, so we had to go to we got bussed into a different town. Like, a bunch of girls from my sister went to high school with wouldn't associate with her because she was born in and lived in Keswick for 3 years. They moved when she was 3. So again, like, very little to no memory of there, but because she was born there, they were just like, no, you're from Keswick. And it's like, I have spent the majority of my life in this town that's, like, 5 minutes away from where you are.
Yeah.
What?
I know. And, like, I on the flip side, like, I'm lucky, I think, that I wasn't related to anybody.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have, like, these deep-seated kind of, like, community kind of associations. Because even there, like, in Antigonish County, like, all around the county, all the different areas have rivalries with each other.
What?
Yeah. So it's, like, none of that stuff, I wasn't involved in any of that because I wasn't from there.
Yeah.
Unquote, you know, so I didn't have to worry about that stuff. But, like, there would be fights, you know, and, like, there's all the rural hockey leagues.
Oh, my gosh.
All that stuff that, like, sets people up against each other, but it's, like, you're all still from the same community. But you probably, like, have family in common, but they still have these big rivalries against each other.
Yeah.
Which, just based on, like, what side of the town you live on.
Yeah, there's, like, a very, like, us versus them sense to, like, a lot of the communities in Nova Scotia. And, like, it is what it is, but it was so strange of, like, people being from Sydney versus Sydney Mines and that kind of stuff. And, like,
oh, that's, like, where I grew up. Like, I'm not from Antigonish. I'm from Tracadie. I'm from Antigonish County. I did not grow up in Antigonish.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like, it's a very important distinction. Like, and it's funny because I'll meet people from Antigonish and it's like, there's like even like the high school rivalry. So,
oh my
like friends of mine that grew up in Antigonish, like, you know, they're like, oh, you're Greece from the East. And I'm like, well, you're a regional reject. So, like, you know, so there's,
what?
It's still like, we joke about it now, but like those things when you're in high school, like those exist.
I feel like that's like Ontario with universities where it's just like, if you can walk and talk, you can go to Brock. If you can walk faster, you can go to McMaster. If you can hold a fork, you can go to York. Friends don't let friends go to Humber. And like, these were just the things that I learned when I was like 17 looking at universities and everything.
So much classes. Shit.
And I remember I was looking at, Halifax has a lot of universities in or around it.
Yeah.
And I think Ontario was just amplified because it's the largest province. Is it? Quebec bigger?
I don't know, to be quite honest.
But, like, it's very large. Yeah. It is central.
Yeah.
And therefore has a lot of universities, especially in, like, the southern regions. And so it's just, like, the rivalries are very easy between, like, Hamilton, Waterloo, Guelph, like, all those areas just have, like, a bunch of universities sprinkled around them. So it's always just funny that you're like, what? I just remember I was genuinely looking at the Humber program, like, their photo program. And I was at my friend's place and her parents were like, oh, how are you doing? Like, how's the university hunt going? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, good. And I'm kind of looking at Humber. And Michelle's dad looks me dead in the eye and goes, friends don't let friends go to Humber. And I was like, wow. I don't know if you're joking or not right now.
It's amazing how deep those things run.
Well, I think also because he went to Ryerson for his undergrad. So I think he very, and like that was one of the schools that both I and my friend, like, his daughter were looking at. So I think he was very much like, yeah, I'll go to Ryerson, like, alma mater, that kind of thing. But I was just like, I can't tell if you're joking right now.
Are you joking? Even if you are joking, like, do you actually mean it still?
Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to some clothing talk. This just popped into my head when you were describing your top that is a mock neck. Are you a big proponent of, like, the mock neck, turtleneck business style?
No, I am, like, well, I'm staunchly anti-turtleneck.
Thank you. I'm sorry to, like, jump in. I feel like, because it's autumn now, like, it's fall, yep. So it's, like, it's cozy layers, all that goodness. And everyone's like, turtlenecks, black turtlenecks, so chic. And I'm like, since I was two decades, I have hated turtlenecks so much.
Yeah, like, aesthetically... fine if it's your thing, but I can't wear them. I feel like I am being choked.
Thank you.
And like I constantly pull at it and I'm so uncomfortable, and so I just can't. Like, this doesn't touch my neck.
Yeah.
Like, it's sitting away, so I'm very comfortable. But any turtleneck, like, I feel like it spurs on anxiety.
Yes, same.
Because I can't get comfortable, and I feel like there's, like, it's just too tight around my neck, and like, why would you want to exist that way?
Thank you. Yeah, I just, like, I remember... again, when I was 8, I had 2 turtlenecks that I really liked. They were both, like, a white base, and one had these, like, turquoise puppy illustrations on them. And I was like, turquoise puppy turtleneck. It's amazing. I think I also was outgrowing it.
Yeah.
So it was very snug, and so, like, that didn't fit properly. And then I had another one that, again, it was a white base, and it had cute little jack-o'-lantern illustrations on it. And I was like, this is my, like, Halloween little turtleneck. And probably, again, was like, I was growing out of it, but I still wanted to wear it. But I think because, like, growing out of clothes, like, they're just going to be snug, and then you finally realize, or, like, your parent tells you, you're not fitting it anymore.
Yeah.
But I think because, like, the added factor of, like, the turtleneck was that much more snug against my neck that I was like, no. And I think it took me a couple times. Like, it still does as an adult, where I'm just like, no, I can still wear that. And then I wear it out for the day, and I'm like, oh, that's why I had, like, the sense memory of, like, don't wear that thing.
No, it makes me feel like I'm going to panic.
Yeah. What has been your relationship with clothing? You've talked about it a bit of, like, playing with, like, gender and having tomboy phases, but can you speak more to it? Or, like, do you have particular memories from your childhood?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think one of the biggest ones is, like, I love to thrift. Like,
yeah.
I love clothes, and I hate shopping.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. I don't like trying things on, because I think it's just, like, such a laborious act to, like, undress and redress, and I don't know, maybe I'm just a silly person, but I remember going with my mom. So I've got, like I said, I have 3 younger brothers, so when you're in a busy household, you know, you're kind of fighting for attention, and my mom was great, and what she used to do was on Wednesday nights, like, every, like, month or so, it would be just her and I, and we would drive to Cape Breton, and we would go to Frenchie's! And we would dig, so Frenchie's is mostly, like, in bins, so we'd dig through the bins, and then we would go and get a magazine at the grocery store and go to the Chinese restaurant in Port Hawkesbury. And that would be, like, our little ritual.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And, like, and I remember, too, like, we were allowed to get, like, one, like, new outfit before school started. Like, you know, but it was still very, like, you know, like, we'd be going to, like, the bargain store and, like, all of these places. But it's, I think my mom taught me more about, like, you know, it's not about labels. It's about, like, the fit of the clothes, the fabric of the clothes, like, how you feel in the clothes. You know, and those things, I think, stuck with me more than, you know, who made it.
Yeah.
You know, after my Adidas phase. And the silver jeans. The silver jeans, I remember in grade 8, it was like, they were all the rage. And they cost $80. I know. And that's in, like, 1998.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of money, especially when you're, like, you know, like, 13 years old.
Yeah.
And so I would babysit and after school for the neighbors, the farm across the street.
Yeah.
And I'd babysit 4 days a week. And so I'd save up my money. And I remember going to buy silver jeans at the mall in Antigonish. And they had the jeans, but I was very petite at the time. Like, I still hadn't gone through puberty. And they made jeans for kids, too. And they were $40.
Oh my gosh.
And the only difference was they were slightly more flared. And so I, instead of spending $80, I spent $40 and I had my silver jeans.
Nice. Savvy shopper.
Oh, always. I love a deal. I'm a deal person.
I remember when I got introduced to Frenchie's, I think you probably already know this because mm-hmm. you just moved from Halifax, but I was so sad to learn when I went back in the spring that the Almond, like the Boots Frenchies closed.
Yeah.
So I think there's no Frenchies in the city anymore.
No, there's not.
Which is a big disappointment.
Yeah, it is. There's not a ton, like, because I mean, the Sally Ann on Green Street also burned down a few years ago.
Oh, I think I knew about that one. I don't know that I was still in the city, but I knew about that.
That was a great one, too. And so that was a bummer. It was like an insurance thing, but anyway. Because they shared a space with a restaurant that, like, kept changing, like, its name very, like, in a rapid succession. And anyway, it was a little sketchy. But the thing about Frenchies is, like, it comes from the States, right? And so, like...
Really?
So, how Frenchies works is the further, like, north in the province you go, the, like, lower the quality of the clothes. Like, it's still good quality, but if you go to the southern part of the province, they bring it up through Maine.
Oh my gosh.
So, there's, like, three levels of, like, quality that they can buy. And so, if it doesn't have to travel as far, they buy, like, a higher-end quality. So, if you go to, like, Digby or Yarmouth, the Frenchies down there are unreal.
I went to visit a friend in, like, Trenton? I can't remember
Trenton,
the word.
Trenton.
Trenton area. And there's Guy's Frenchie.
Guy.
Yeah. So, Guy's Frenchies, which I think is, like, the good one in that region.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a lot of them are Guy's Frenchies. He owns a bunch of them.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think he's the original Frenchies guy.
Ooh.
Guy is the guy. Yeah. Because the one up near us was Guy's Frenchies, too. But there's one, like, in New Glasgow, and there's one in Alds Cove, and, yeah, Frenchies. Like, if you're looking for thrift in Nova Scotia, Frenchies is
your best. Oh, my gosh, it's the best.
Also, church opportunity shops. There's a lot of churches in Nova Scotia, and a lot of them have opportunity shops where they take, like, you can donate clothes, and they sell them super cheap, like, for money for the church and, like, other services that the church provides. And in Antigonish, there's an amazing one called, it's the Op Shop, and it's like behind a gas station on Main Street. It's like, if you didn't know it was there, like, you wouldn't go, but, like, you can get a garbage bag full of clothes for $7.
Nice.
And it's like, and because it's a university town and it's like a university that brings in a lot of out of province students, you're getting a lot of high end, like, high quality clothes because they turn over clothes so quickly that you're getting amazing things, like, in a bag for $7.
Yeah, that's the nice thing I think about, like, smaller community or, like, smaller city university towns versus, like, Toronto is still a university city, but, like, it's so expensive. So, like, a lot of the consignment shops are hiking up the prices.
Yeah, and it's the same here in Montreal. Like, you go down to the Mile End, like, there's all these great thrift stores, but it's, like,
on, like, a friend's suggestion, I went to Eva B yesterday, and I was like, I just need to see it, and, like, it was not what I expected, where it is definitely much more of, I would say, like, a higher-end thrift store versus, like, a consignment shop.
Yeah. And a lot of them have shifted that way, I find.
Yeah.
Like, because I guess there's more demand for thrift, and so it's, like, this whole marketing thing.
Yeah. But I, like, ran through, because I was just, like, I didn't realize how busy it was, and then I also was just, like, Armand doesn't, like, I can truly spend, like, 2 hours in a secondhand store and be like, bye, and he was like, I don't want to be here. So he very graciously, I was like, I will do a lap, and then we're out.
Aww.
And so... But yeah, he was, like, looking at some labels and said that they were, like, flipping stuff from, like, $2 to $10, $15, $20 and stuff like that, which it doesn't surprise me, but I was just like...
That's shady. Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable shopping in a place like that.
Yeah.
You know, because you can do high-end thrift and do it well and make it still accessible.
Yeah.
Like Elsie's in Nova Scotia. Like,
oh my god, my favorite place.
Yeah, I love Elsie's. And they've got, like, all kinds of brand names. Like, you know, like, they've got, like, they're consigning shoes that are, like, $700.
Yeah.
You know, but they also have a $2 bin. And then they've got racks of things that are between everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't feel uncomfortable. And things are priced fairly.
Yeah. Like, it's through Elsie's that I've come to find, like, one of my favorite local brands, Birds of North America.
Yeah, and they carry local, like, made in Canada brands.
That one, this is, like, maybe one day this will happen, but there's, what was it, 2 years ago, I went out for Veronica's wedding.
Yeah.
And I did an Elsie's trip, because it was just me for, like, the weekend in Nova Scotia. So, like, was staying with some friends, and so I, like, spent a day... Went to Elsie's and I found Birds of North America and I was like, these are amazing. And I think I bought two pieces. I've thrifted three, and I've purchased my own three pieces, building my collection. So I remember I like bought those pieces, and I think it was because it's a mother-daughter pair, isn't it, who own it?
I'm not sure, but I know it's, yeah, made in Canada.
So, oh, no, like the Elsie's is mother-daughter.
Oh, Elsie's. I don't know.
It might be. Anyway, but the woman who owns it
is amazing.
I think she was the one cashing me out, and she was like, oh, you're so lucky that you found these and like that they fit you because this came in last night after hours. It's a St. Mary's prof.
Yeah.
She flips her wardrobe like every season. And I was just like, what? So when Armand and I were in Halifax in May, I was like, give me 1 hour. I'm going to Elsie's. Like, I really want to check this out. And I got another Birds of North America. There was a bunch of other stuff. And again, it was the same woman. She dropped off the night before. So it was like fresh stock.
Oh, good timing.
And so I was just like, I need to meet this woman. But I was like, I don't think it'd be the best to like go to the owner of Elsie's and be like, can you put me in contact? Like, send my contact info to this person. Because like, there goes your commission.
Yeah.
But then where I used to live in Toronto was around the corner from the Birds of North America studio.
Oh, wow.
So they had a studio sale, which is how I got my other pieces. I probably spent more money than I should have, but I was like, whatever, it's my birthday month.
Yeah.
Like one of those. Yeah. And so I came in one of their older pieces because it was just like in my mind. And so the owner of Birds of North America, Haley, she was like, hey, nice piece. And then where'd you get that? I was like, oh, I actually thrifted it. And she was like, oh, I love when that happens.
So they just means still like, going.
Yeah, because like the clothing is still having a life. It's not being like shuttered away in a closet. And I was just like, oh, I got it from Halifax. And she was like, yep, I know the client you're talking about.
Wow.
And so I feel like everyone's like, you need to find this St. Mary's prof and you need to interview her.
I think you do. And I think it's funny. Like, I think that's the thing as artists too, that like, you know, like stuff has histories and we're interested in more than just an object. It's like, what was the life of this thing before it came to me? You know, and who was this person? Like, it's that curiosity.
Yeah. And so I feel like that will be a goal down the road, is to ideally get in contact with this woman from St. Mary's.
I wonder who it is.
I don't know.
So looking like through St. Mary's, like, but it just rough.
But it just makes me think of, because the owner of Elsie's was telling me, like, she's a prof, she lectures, so she's always in front of her students, so I guess she doesn't want to be seen in, like, the same outfits too often.
Oh, that's so funny.
Which I was like, that's a bit extreme, but I think just because, like, where I am in my life, I'm just like, oh, no, you just have to, like, figure out how to make it feel fresh and different.
God. I'll wear, like, the same thing 3 days in a row and not give a shit.
Oh, my gosh, I wore this outfit last night to dinner. I'm wearing it on the Megabus because I'm like, this is a comfy outfit. It's cold. I only pack dresses. yes, it was just funny to hear that. And then it just made me think of Jane Wark.
Oh, love her. Yeah.
But, like, unfortunately, in Jane Wark's lectures, you would just be so mesmerized by what she was wearing.
Literally, the first Jane Wark class I had, I drew her because I was so mesmerized. She was wearing, she had her glasses on, the ones that, like, one is a circle.
One round and one is a rectangle.
One is a square. Yep. And then she had on, I think it was, like, a yellow linen suit. And she's got purple hair.
Yep.
And she was wearing, like, orange shoes with it. And I was like, who are you? You are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I am just fascinated by you as a person.
I feel like the epitome of, like, an art history professor, where it's just, like, you're still playing the game of, like, wearing a suit and everything. Yeah. But you're like, we're going to make it fun.
Yeah. And I love that she broke, too, from, like, that, like, traditional, like, art history teacher, like, vibe where it's, like, you're supposed to only wear black because you're not supposed to distract from the work, you know? So,
yeah.
Because she's like, I'm just going to wear this yellow linen suit and, like, wear what I want and express myself how I want.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Like, oh, yeah. I was just taken with her as soon as I
That's amazing. I don't know how to phrase this question, but I have this, like, idea, this question of, like, the art student uniform, and if you felt like you had to ascribe to that while at NASCAD, and, like, in your practice, and even now, or if you were just like, fuck it, I'm aware of the rainbow.
It's funny, actually, in a lecture yesterday, because I did a presentation on color, I've got a class about, like, public art, and so we've raised all these kinds of questions, and each week a couple people present, and I was asking about the impact of color in the public space, and my teacher was noting that I was wearing color, and like there were a few people in the room who were also wearing color, and he's like, even a few years ago you'd all be in black, like, and I think it, like, in my experience, I think it's something that's shifting now. I've only been in the art world for, like, you know, like maybe 10 years, but I know lots of my classmates wear black, and I think there's a reason people wear black, and it's, you know, like, one of it's just very practical that, like, you're working with all these messy materials, and so, like, if you're, like, you know, a screen printer and you're screening ink, like, if you get something on black clothing, it's much easier to clean off if you're wearing, like, a bright white shirt.
True, you know? And I also just imagine, like, the simplicity of, like, black goes with everything.
Easy
and
so to you're throw just gonna... on. Black t-shirt, black pants, like, you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But I think for me, like, I'm a painter, and so even if I'm wearing black, I'm painting with very vibrant colors. If I get that on me, it's you're going to see it.
Yeah.
So why would I wear black, you know? And also, I tend to just change in my studio anyway. So I've got, over the last few years, I've kind of divided my wardrobe between, like, real world clothes and then, like, my fancier clothes and then my paint clothes. And so, like, at my locker in my studio, I have all of my paint clothes. So when I go in, I change.
Okay.
So what I wear in the studio, like, isn't what I wear in the real world. No, I might. Like, I all go out in my paint clothes.
Yeah.
But they're not what I wear every day. And they're still colorful, too. Like, they're not black clothing. Like, I've got, like, pants with, like, patches sewn on them and just, like, aprons covered in paint because you're going to get covered in paint.
Yeah.
But I think I never subscribe to the all-black outfit just because I don't think it's who I am, and I think that clothing, like, it's such a big expression of who you are, and
yeah.
It was just never, I've never been a uniform person, and the way I want to dress from day to day changes so much, like, and I do have black clothing, but I just, it's not something that, like, is a uniform for me, and I tend to wear the colorful clothing more than I wear the black clothing.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, things that have texture, or, like, things that are just more fun. Like,
yeah.
You know, clothing can be fun, and why not? You know,
I'm with you on that.
Instead of, like, blending in, like, and I don't think I'm purposefully trying to stand out, but I'm also not trying to conform to a certain aesthetic.
Yeah. I feel like I dressed fairly colorfully. Like, I probably just dressed like a standard teenager or, like, early 20s person. But I remember, there were the people who had, like, their uniform of either, like, all black or very neutral or, like, a bit more formulaic. Whereas I had neon double tongue Converse for like 3 years, and that's just what I lived in.
Yep.
And so for me, I can do an all black outfit, but like if I look down, I want to see some sort of color on myself. So whether it's like my shoes or like
break it up
a
somehow.
Fun accessory somehow. Yeah. And for me, I worked retail on and off, and so a lot of retail jobs are just like they're either very strict with the color or opt to wear all black or you just have to wear all black. So I had to like get more creative where I was like, okay, with my accessories, I can wear color or like with my makeup, I'll do a bit more color or what have you. But I just like, I also like could not ascribe to the like all black uniform, like the art student uniform.
No.
And like how you said it, I think it's just like, I was like, that's just not who I am. Like, it doesn't feel natural or true to myself in any way.
No, I think I would feel like I'm putting something on, like, a false air. You know, I was wearing all black.
You're, like, performing
art
student.
It's not my personality either. Exactly. Like, I think my personality, like, is much more, like, outgoing and silly. And I think that's reflected more in what I wear. And if I was just wearing an all black outfit, it wouldn't be true to who I am, like, as a person, but also my personality. I think it would be a bit jarring for people, to be quite honest.
Oh yeah, like if you walked up to me one day and you're wearing all black, I'd just be like, what's going on?
Yeah, I think people would worry.
Are you okay?
Sorry, you've cats in and out.
That's all right. So you've touched on this a little bit. What do you think your clothing says about you?
I think that's interesting. I think my clothing says that I like clothes. That I'm playing with clothing. I think it's, I think there's a playfulness to how I dress, but also a practicality. Like, I don't wear high heels, just solely because I think they're impractical and they're uncomfortable, and I don't like to wear things that inhibit me in any way. And I think a lot of, like, very feminized clothing tends to do that. Like, you know, like bras and high heels and all of these things that, like, constrict us and constrict movement and, you know, and I don't like feeling caged. So I'm a big fan of, like, really practical footwear.
Yeah.
My rule is kind of, if I can't run in it, like, I'm not wearing it. And I think part of that too is like just being like a woman and being a smaller woman, like my like defenses, like with fight or flight, like I'm probably not going to be able to take down like a big person who's like,
yeah,
you know, coming after me, but I can run really fast. So
well, there you go.
So why wouldn't I wear something that I can run in?
Yeah.
You know? Which is a silly thing to think about, but it is definitely something that I think about.
But I listened to another podcast, I think it was Pop Fashion, where I don't think they can call it causation. I think it's just a correlation of after the Trump administration,
yeah,
the height of women's high heels in the state statistically have become lower. So women are wearing a lot more kitten heels, ballet flats, like those kinds of shoes. And a similar phenomenon was seen, I think, post 9/11.
Yeah.
Was women went from wearing like stacked heels to like, you're wearing a kitten heel, you're wearing a flat, like you're wearing a much more practical shoe. And I think it is like this subconscious response to fight or flight. Like, what can I do? I can't fight. I need to run.
Yeah.
So my shoes need to like enable me to run.
Exactly. And like, I'm a big fan of boots. Like I like heavy boots.
Yep.
You know, like whether I'm wearing a dress or like, you know, whether I'm wearing like a very like, you know, kind of like masculine kind of outfit. Like, I have one pair of like dress up boots and I do have dress up shoes, but they're like, they don't have heels, you know, I've got like glitter loafers and things like that. I love like sparkle and texture and all of those things. And I think, I think my wardrobe kind of like verges between like my everyday wear, which I think is a little bit more expressive than kind of standardized clothing, but then also into like things that are fun that may be a little bit more costumey. You know, like I love, like I just got this jacket that's hanging up on the door there with the fuzzy pink texture, and like it, the texture of it, the color of it, like, you know, like I just want to live in it. And it's these things, like once in a while someone will say to me like, I could never wear that, like you look great in it, but I could never wear that. And I'm like, you could, you really could, but you just don't think you can.
Yeah, I think that's always a strange comment. I feel like whether intentionally or not, I try to be very cognizant of if and when I say that to people, because I think it can be taken as slightly backhanded.
Yeah, totally.
Where it's, and I think that's also just like a weird social coding, I think specifically of women and like female bodies. Absolutely. Is, oh, I could never do that, but you're doing it so well.
It's an othering, you know.
It's like, and it's this weird like backhanded compliment. But I think from a more sincere, like less cynical perspective of people saying like, I could never wear that, but you're making it look so good, I think is a place of like either that piece doesn't feel authentic to them and therefore it would feel very foreign, and so they wouldn't have like the internal confidence to be like, I feel amazing in this. They would probably, instead of like radiating from like within, you would probably close in a bit of like, this feels really awkward, I don't like this, please don't look at me. So you're gonna like shrink yourself, whereas like, I feel great in this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna like throw my shoulders back, I'm gonna walk confidently.
Oh, absolutely.
I look rad as hell.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just how you feel in clothes. And I think a lot of things like that, like women in particular, feel insecure.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you're drawing attention to yourself in some way, or you're just different in some way. And I think people have a hard time being different depending on like how that difference is viewed.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, I have a pretty like solid sense of myself. Like I know who I am pretty much, like, and I know like what I want and what I don't want. And I know that I would rather like, you know, wear clothing that like makes me happy than trying to fit like into a certain aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, it's about like just that certain piece of clothes. Like, does it make me happy? Like, does it make me feel comfortable? Like, what's it doing for me? And if I feel those things, then I'm going to feel great in it.
Yeah.
You know, like even if it's something that like might draw attention, you know, it's like, well, it's, this is who I am. Like, I'm not seeking attention, but like just by wearing something like just slightly different than, you know, what's the social norm, you are welcoming that in a positive or a negative way, I guess. But I don't think it matters to me. Like, I like it, so it doesn't matter if someone else does or doesn't.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, great. Like, I don't, you know, I might not love everything you're wearing either, but that's fine, and that's why we have different clothes, because it's, we're expressing ourselves differently, and we should
be. Yeah, it's that thing of, like, that old adage of, like, if everyone was the same, then the world would be a very boring place.
So boring. Yeah.
Truly. Yeah, because, like, even if it was, like, everyone's dressing colorfully, then you'd be like, oh, this is, like, it's kind of, you'd get like blindness to it in a way, so that you need that variation of just like, this person's colorful, this person has really frilly things, this person is very monochromatic. Like,
yeah.
It's just fun to look at.
Yeah. And, like, and so much of, like, what I, like, again, like, I have this comfort with clothing, and, like, it's also, like, how do I say this? Like, it's, there's, like, a practicality to things, too, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same reason, like, I keep my hair short. Like, I don't like when my hair, I can feel it blowing in the wind. Like, if it's blowing in my face, like, it's distracting. Or if it takes me a long time to style it. Like, when I had long hair, like, hair is not my area of expertise.
Yeah.
Like, I cut my own hair now, and I dye it myself and all those things. But it's short, so it's easy to manage. And when it's long, like, it's, I get so frustrated with it because like, I can put it up or I can put it down. And I'm also like, I've got obsessive compulsive disorder, so I'm very particular about things.
Oh yeah.
And so like putting my hair up, like if there's like any little bumps in it or anything, like I can spend like 30 minutes minimum, like just trying to put my hair in a ponytail and just being frustrated and frustrating myself further and further and further.
Yeah.
And so for me, like as a practicality kind of thing, like keeping my hair short works for me. And I like the way it looks.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, that's the way my hair is going to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I probably not to the same degree, but mm-hmm. like I can appreciate, and I feel like a lot of people, I think anyone with just hair can appreciate that sense of like, you try to do one thing and you're like, this isn't right. This isn't right. How do I make this right? Like what's going on here? And like, and the unfortunate thing is like, there's never, at least I find for myself, like there's never the answer of like, if you put it in a ponytail, that fixes it. Or if you put it in a top knot, that's the solution. Like, some days I'm like, yeah, today's going to be a top knot day. And then you're like, that's not right.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but then what is right? Like, what's the answer? Is it a ponytail?
Yeah.
Is it half up, half down? Do I leave the whole thing down? Like, what? And then typically it's like, I do my hair and I'm like, this is what it is for today.
Yeah.
And then I get to work and I'm like, this is actually what I'm doing today. And I, it's almost easier when I'm not looking at the mirror that it's like, who cares? It's away from me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think that's where that, like, time factor comes in again for me as I get older. Like, I don't like wasting my time.
Yeah.
And I find, like, for me personally, doing my hair is a waste of my time. Now, my friend who's a hairdresser will, like, not like that I said that, but he also didn't like when I said that I don't care what the back of my hair looks like because I can't see it. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just, but like also on that line of like practicality and convenience, like a lot of the time, like I'll organize my wardrobe by outfits. Like I will put outfits together so I don't have to choose in the morning because I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
And end up like trying on like, you know, like 10 things that I'm just not comfortable in.
Because
it's not working quite right. Like I'd rather take the time and spend it like organizing outfits so I can just pull something off the hanger and I know it's going to work and it's not going to eat up any of my time.
Yeah. So will you physically take outfits and like put them together or do you mentally catalog?
I mentally catalog, but I like hang things up together. So like I will hang up like at least a shirt and a pair of pants or whatever bottom I want to have with it. Maybe a sweater, maybe like something that goes under it or a pair of leggings. But they're hung up by outfit, like based on, and I think about like where would I wear this? You know, like is this an everyday outfit? Is this like something that you wear to a special event? Is this like my painting clothes? You know what I mean? Like more practical. But I definitely I sort my wardrobe by outfit. Just like a matter of convenience.
Yeah, I have slowly, I just need to like find the time to do it, but I have become, I think from transitioning from being a student and like outfits didn't, I didn't have to consider them as much or in the same way, I feel like. Like as a student, especially as an art student, it was just like whatever, like throw some stuff on, it'll be fine, but like I wasn't, I feel like because there didn't feel like a formula to, or like an expectation of like, you are in this environment and therefore you must dress this way. Whereas like my, I worked at an art studio for a while in Toronto. I had a couple different jobs, before I settled on my current one, but it was, you had a new uniform. You literally had like a company branded t-shirt and you put on paint covered jeans because we worked with acrylics. And so it's just like, acrylic's never coming out. It's plastic.
Nope.
So I think I still have some acrylic covered jeans just like tucked away as like my studio pants. But that like took all of the thinking out of it. Yeah. I also, that was a rough year for me for clothes because I was in my final semester, like my final year of my 2-year program.
Yeah.
I was either working from home or I was going to people's, going to interview people at their home. So like I would put a lot of effort into those outfits.
Yeah.
But I was working in like sweatpants or like jeans and a tank top or something like that versus like going to class and like putting together an outfit.
Yeah.
But now that I'm in my current job, which it's still a fairly, like, it's arts and culture center, so yeah. It's, like, still a fairly lax wardrobe.
Yeah.
It's funny to see, like, the different departments of, like, finance. You can tell they still very much have, like, that business uniform. Yeah. Whereas my department, I work in, like, recreational learning and camps. So it's just, like, I think I'm one of the fancier people.
Yeah.
I'm one of the fancily dressed people. Anyway, and so I have since, being at my current job, I have become very interested in the idea of, like, a minimalist wardrobe. Because I will catalog my wardrobe at night and be like, what do I want to wear tomorrow? I think I want to wear a skirt. What skirt can I wear? Oh, I'll wear it with this top. Or, like, what are some options of tops? So I'm kind of putting things together.
Yeah.
But then even in the morning, it's still just, like, you put it on, you're like, this is wrong!
Yeah. That's why I like to organize it ahead of time. And, like, I'll, like, pull things from my wardrobe, like, out of my closet and, like, tuck them away.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if it's something that I wear. Just, like, if it's not working with, like, the things that I'm wearing, like, at that point in time. Or it's just not something that I seem to be grabbing, you know what I mean? But I still, I know it's something that I'm going to wear at some point.
Yeah.
So I'll tuck it away, like, under the bed in, like, a container for a while.
Yeah.
Like, with my seasonal clothes, you know, just to, like, kind of minimize the choices that I have in my wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm learning that I'm, like, I thought I as a person who, like, loves clothes, I still want to purchase them. I want to own them. I want the texture. I want the color. Yeah. I want the fun stuff. But I've found that, like, having all those options is so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so I need to, like, mentally catalog things of, like, I have this one, like, hilarious silk shirt. It's like a men's silk shirt that I call my androgynous lovers.
Yes.
I got it at this consignment shop in Vancouver. I love it. But it's just, like, these weird, like, androgynous, slightly effeminate but slightly masculine, like, faces, like, in silhouette next to each other, and then these, like, old, like, vintage cars. It's the strangest shirt. I love it so much. But, like, that is a fancy shirt. That's a shirt that I, like, I'm going for drinks, I'm going to a party, like, I'm going
occasions.
Out in that. That's an occasion shirt versus, like, the one I'm wearing right now. This is, like, my current outfit is, like, I could wear this to work, but I could wear this, like, groceries, errands, whatever.
Exactly.
And so, you sometimes need to, like, catalog your outfits to, at least, if it's still visually there, you know, like, no, that's a weekend shirt. Like, I'm not going to wear my old, like, camp crew neck to work because I'm sure I could get away with it. But for me, I'm like, no, that's not a work clothes. That's, like, home clothes. That's errand clothes. That's, like, chill clothes.
Yeah. It's funny, too. Like, I think as I get older, it's more considerate of, like, what you have in your wardrobe and what you're buying. Like, I try to be more practical with what I'm buying. Like, not in that, like, the item, like, has to be a serious item, but, like, it's, like, say, like, this pink fuzzy jacket. Like, I need a seasonal jacket that's between, like, you know, like, a jean jacket and my winter down coat.
Yeah.
This is the perfect jacket in between. Now, it's pink, it's fuzzy, it's still, like, a silly, like, fun thing to wear.
Yeah.
But it also serves the purpose that it serves.
Yeah.
You know? And so instead of buying, like, like I would have done in my 20s, like, maybe going to, like, a consignment shop and getting a bunch of, like, jackets or coats, you know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, this fits and it's cute. Like, you really think about, like, am I going to wear this?
Yeah.
Like, does this make me happy? Like, instead of, like, oh, it's pretty, I'll buy that.
You know? I find that, I think especially probably just, like, with how our generation grew up, like, I don't know, like, the political history necessarily in terms of clothing, but I feel like there probably was this, like, boom through the 90s and the early 2000s where you wanted, like, you could just buy stuff really easily, and now it is, like, for various reasons, like, a lot is coming together to be, like, you can't afford that anymore. It is not sustainable. You can't just keep going to, like, your Forever 21s, your H&M's, your, even your Winners, really, of, like, getting, or Target or what have you, to, like, just buy things, like, every month or every couple months.
No.
And, like, you don't have the space. You don't have the wallet for that. Like, and so I think it's probably just the natural transition of, like, growing up. But I think because we grew up in, like, this rampant consumption, whereas, like, our parents grew up in, like, the 60s where box stores, it was, like, department stores versus, like...
Or my mom's still sewing her own clothes.
Yeah, like, you're sewing your own clothes, you're probably still thrifting, so it's just, like, we grew up in a different environment, and so I think it's, like, a pendulum swing back to, like, oh, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have to pay bills, I have to pay loans, I have to, like, feed myself.
And I think you recognize, too, that that, like, accumulation of clothing, like, there's still things, right? It becomes stressful.
Oh,
yeah. Because it's all the stuff that you're accountable for, you know? And, like, what do you do with it? Like, you're not wearing it. Like, it's just piling up. And, like, I think that also causes an anxiety.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, let's do... Who's your style icon?
I think that... when I think about it, like, who, like, who's influenced me, like, growing up. Like, I think about people like Drew Barrymore. Like, I think about when I'm in junior high. Yeah. You know, so, like, Drew Barrymore at that time, like, her Flower Child kind of phase.
Yeah.
And, like, Gwen Stefani and, like, you know, like, all of those things. It's also, like, why, like, I have, like, 90s eyebrows. You know, like, where, like, you overplucked because, like, that was the aesthetic of
oh
the time.
Oh, my gosh. Those tiny tadpole eyebrows.
Just thin lines.
Like, yeah, it literally was, like...
And they start, like, you know, like, halfway, like, to where your natural eyebrows should start. And after a while, they stop growing back. FYI, don't overpluck your eyebrows, ever.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if it's stylish,
shave.
Don't. Yeah, I've been lucky, like, I backed off, and, like, I don't really even pluck them at all anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, and, like... God bless, like, all those, like, boy brow, like, all those, like, mascara kind of things
oh,
for your
yeah.
eyebrows
like
now.
Like, the fillers.
That, like, yeah, and also because, like, my hair is blonde, like, a lot of them, like, it's weird, because, like, my hairs will be, like, dark on one end and light on the other, so, like, you don't see the full hair, and so it looks spotty until, like, I put something on it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so I'd say those, like, that's, like, definitely my early style icons, but, like, I don't know, like, I feel like... Now it's more just like self-expression. Like,
yeah,
I've always been drawn to like, you know, like figures like David Bowie who are more like androgynous and kind of play with their clothing. You
yeah,
know, where it's like a certain outfit is a certain look or a certain aesthetic that might not be the aesthetic that he's doing like the next day.
Yeah,
so things like that are always fun. But I think it's more like I'm just drawn to things. Yeah, that make me happy.
Nice.
You know.
I'm going to go off on a bit of a question tangent, I feel like. Because mm-hmm. You very clearly, and like you've said yourself, you dress very brightly.
Yeah.
You work slash have worked with like youth programming in the arts. And
oh,
do you think that like you were naturally drawn to that? Or like do you think that has informed how you dress as well? Or
I think I definitely love kids' style. I think I'm drawn to working with children because of their openness and just like the excitement and the joy that they have, and I think that's like part of my wardrobe too for sure. Like somebody yesterday, one of my classmates said that the shirt I'm wearing reminded them of like a Sesame Street character.
Yeah,
and like I totally said that. I'm like, yeah, like Ernie or Bert. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, totally. I'm like, I feel like it's more clown chic, but. You know, but I am totally okay with those things. And this is where color, like, you know, like bright colors and like saturated and primary colors tend to be viewed as more childlike.
Yep.
You know, but I don't think they need to be the same way that like pink, like for so long, like was co-opted as being like a color for young girls.
Yeah.
Like even for older women, you weren't allowed to wear pink, you know, even though it was a feminized color.
It was too young.
It was too young and it was, you know, and so like you were supposed to stay away with it. And now everyone wears pink.
Yeah.
You know, like it's become a more socially acceptable color and it's great because it's a wonderful color. But like even when I teach kids, like kids get the best clothes. Like if you think about like their shoes and their backpacks and like all these things.
Oh my gosh,
like,
yes.
You know, like, they get the fun. They have fun in how they dress. And
oh my gosh, all the like glittery backpacks that I saw this summer.
The sequins that go back and forth. Oh, I love them. And that's the thing. Like I think as adults, we like in a lot of areas of our life, we're kind of not allowed to have as much fun, you know, because things get more serious. You get more responsibilities. But I don't think it has to be that way. I think you can still have fun with things.
Yeah, there's somehow this, like, idea that, like, being an adult and taking on responsibility has to be mutually exclusive from, like, being joyful and, like, taking enjoyment from, like, your clothing. Whereas, like, no, it's practical. So you're, like, you're covering yourself now. And you have your little, like, suit of armor from, like, your work suit and things like that versus, like... Throw some color in there. Throw a pattern in there.
And I think we're kind of taught to blend in. Like, if you think about, like, you're just, like, how our school system works. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's sitting at a desk. Everyone is behaving. Everyone is supposed to be, like, you know, behaving a certain way and tuned in a certain way. And you don't want to stand out. You know what I mean? If you stand out, you're drawing attention to yourself. And usually...
You're a target.
Always negative. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're drawing attention to yourself. Even if it's not for a negative thing. And so I think... I don't know. I think I got to a certain point. Like, I went through a phase... where I cut off all my hair and I stopped wearing makeup because I didn't like the attention that I was getting.
Yeah.
So, like, because if I had, like, a whole face of makeup on and I was walking down the street in Halifax, I would notice, like, men staring at me and I was getting...
Oh, yeah. They're not subtle about it.
No. And so I was getting this attention and I didn't want it. And so I think for me, it started as a way to, like make myself maybe a little less attractive, like, conventionally, mm-hmm. to what the beauty standards are, how women have
yeah.
been feminized, and how, like, and how men, like, we're, you know, like, we're dressing for men. And that really irked me. And so I... You know, and it's like, and not even as an aesthetic thing, but just as a, like, a societal thing of, like, how much time women put into their appearance. And, like, you know, like, you make sure that, like, your skin is clear and you have no hair, and, like, in yeah. places that you're not supposed to. You're supposed to have a lot of hair in your head. You're not supposed to have hair anywhere else. Like,
yeah.
And all these stupid standards that's, like, and, like, if you do have body hair, it's gross.
Yeah.
Right? But men have body hair, and it's not gross. And, like,
yeah.
I never got that connection, because it's like, but why? Like,
yeah.
it's something my body does, and, like, there's a reason my body does it, and it's, like, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so, like, I just stopped shaving because, A, it takes up so much fucking time.
So much time!
All of those things irritate my skin. I've got sensitive skin, so, like, shaving my armpits, like, you know, I'd get, like, ingrown hairs and all this stuff, and it becomes, like, way, like, more of a production than it needs to be,
yeah.
and, like, and everything else that, like, burns, like, shit off your skin, and, like, you Oof, know, like, no. what are you doing to your body, like, why?
Yeah.
Like, just to, like, fit into a certain standard. And so I cut off my hair, stopped wearing makeup, I let my hair grow out, and I stopped getting that attention, and
yeah.
I really liked it. And, like, and now, like, I think I've kind of come back towards the middle where it's, like, I'll wear makeup if I feel like it.
Yeah.
Like, I love bright colored eyeshadow. Like, it's become, I think, again, instead of, like, a certain kind of beauty aesthetic for me, it's become a self-expression where it's, like, I want to wear lime green eyeshadow. Like, and
yeah.
it might not look the best on me, but I love it, and I feel really good in it.
Yeah.
And that matters more.
As if you are not busy enough with grad school,
yep.
there's a book that I feel like you would really enjoy. That is,
everywhere,
I think it's The Year I Gave Up Lipstick. And so it's this woman who, she has a sociology background. I think she was pregnant with her first child, so she was off work. And her husband got placed in Shanghai for yep. work. So they relocated to Shanghai, but then she loved shopping, she loved makeup, she loved yeah. all of that stuff. But then I think she, as she got, found out she was having a daughter, like
yeah.
she had her daughter, and was like, what kind of example am I setting for my daughter?
Yeah.
So she made herself her own social experiment where the year yeah. they were expats in Shanghai, I believe, she cut off her hair, gave up makeup, stopped shopping.
Yeah.
And she just tracked the whole thing and, like, set these rules for herself of, like, for her social experiment to see what it was like. And so it's a really fascinating book. And I think her goal was it took her husband average 13 minutes to get ready in the morning. And she
yeah.
was like, that is my goal.
Yeah.
So she, like, got rid of all of her makeup, like, just, like, cut everything out. And it was just, like, a really interesting, like, looking at that.
Yeah.
And I read that this time last year, I think. And I really enjoyed it. And I think it was an interesting examination and to look at it of, like, I think it's just like that pendulum swing of where, like, you're in one vein and then
yeah.
you're like, I'm gonna really reject that and push it to another,
yeah.
but then it's always nice to kind of come back to the middle to be like, but this is what I want to be doing. So
yeah,
like,
you find your place within it.
Yeah, like, so yeah. like, if you still, like, if you were like for me, it was like, I like makeup and I was
yeah.
grooming all my hair off that shouldn't
yeah.
quote unquote shouldn't be there and all these kinds
yeah.
of things, and then it was like, oh no, I don't want to do that anymore.
No.
And so, but then you're kind of, I also feel like I've found this kind of, like, equilibrium of, like, I'm still going to wear makeup when I want to.
Yeah.
I still, like, I stop shaving my armpits, but I still shave my legs sometimes.
Yeah,
I don't
shave my legs once
one.
In a while, you know? But
for,
like,
me, it's mostly, like, I like to wear tights and other things like
yeah.
that. And,
they get itchy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The feeling of, like, your little cactus
mm-hmm.
hairs
yep.
poking
I
through
know.
The tights. You're like, oh, this is horrible. I don't like this. And I just... Yeah, sometimes I like to feel
yeah.
like my smooth little legs.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fine. Like, you know,
yeah.
there's bits and pieces of these things that, like, we can take for ourselves, but I think it's making that decision for ourselves instead of, like, whatever the societal norm is. And, I mean, we're in a very privileged position to be able to make those choices
yes.
and have that agency.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I'm very lucky that I have a partner who doesn't give a shit about my body hair. Like, you know,
yeah.
like, he cares that I'm happy. And that matters more than, like, you know, any aesthetic change. Like, when I was in high school, I had a boyfriend who would get upset every time I cut my hair. You know? Or if I dyed it a color that wasn't blonde. You know? And, like, that's a very weird, like, possessive kind of thing.
That's a very controlling thing, and you don't need that in your life.
No. Oh, my God, no. And, like, I mean, that's, like, just, like, the minimum of things he would do. But, like, I think it took a long time to get through that, too, you know? And learning how, like, I wanted to look. And that, again, coming back to that place where it's like, I don't care what other people think about how I look.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's, I'm not dressing for anyone else. Like,
yeah.
I'm dressing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you have to spend time with yourself more than anyone else. So why, instead of trying to make other people happy, why not make yourself happy?
Oh, yeah. That makes me think, I remember in my NASCAD times, I feel like it's like a new city, new place, like figuring all this stuff out. And I've learned, I'm like, I'm not a big dater, but I think there's this idea of like, well, you want to pair off and you want to date and there's all these new people. And so like, what's that about? And what's that like? And going to parties and everything. And it was, I think a friend sent me the link to, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her name. Tanya Davis?
Yep. Oh, How to Be Alone.
Yes.
So magical, eh?
And that just, like, was revolutionary to me. And I think for, like, my 20-year-old self.
Yes.
I think it was also the year that I think my dad died. And so it's, like, that is very, like, emotional. Like, it's a big emotional shift. Yeah. And so it kind of makes you be like, well, who am I now? Especially, like, you're already in your formative stage as an adult. Yeah. And then it's just like, oh, what does this, and how does this inform me?
Yeah.
And I think I needed to learn how to be alone because being, like, this is a sad statement, but I think being alone, being with people, you just felt much more isolated because it's like everyone is kind of going about their norm.
Yeah.
And it's like, this doesn't feel normal to me.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out how to be by myself. And what that looked like was doing groceries on Friday, like walking home from school, stopping at the superstore on Quinpool.
Yeah.
Going to Video Difference, getting a bottle of wine, making dinner and drinking wine and knitting in bed. Yes. And like everyone else was going to parties and like, if that's what worked for them, it worked for them. But for me, I was like, no, that feels very inauthentic to me. Yeah. I'm going to learn how to be by myself before and like learn who that is before I like go out into the world.
Yeah.
Trying to like interact with people and then have these very inauthentic moments and then leave feeling very dejected or like low.
Yeah. I'm very much of the same cloth. Like I love being alone.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of my favorite times. And I think, like, I'm also a painter, so, like, you know, like, my art practice is a very, like, solo art practice anyway, so I spend a lot of time with myself. But I feel like, I don't know, like, being in groups of people, it's very hard to make sincere connections or just have sincere conversations in places like that, and it doesn't sit with me. Like, I love one-on-one, like, you know, or like very small groups. Like, I like being able to have like a direct intimate conversation with someone instead of trying to like, you know, like shout at somebody in a party.
Yeah,
you know. And like, not like, I just, it's, again, it comes down to time. Like, I feel like it's a waste of my time.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing sincere or real happening, you know?
Yeah, I remember parties and dating for me are very similar, where I would be like, every, like, 4 to 6 months, I'd be like, what's this about? And be like, still don't like it? Okay, good to know.
Yeah. And I think that's knowing yourself as you get older, too, and, like, being like, again, that's okay. You don't have to like those things.
Yeah. But I think it was also that point where I think having roommates, if you're like, if you are very introverted and like how you recharge is being by yourself and not going out, whereas like you live with someone who they do want to go out, they do want to go socialize. I think on both sides it can feel like, am I not doing this right? Where like the introvert who's not going out, it's like, well, you're supposed to go out, so why don't I want to do that? And then possibly for the extrovert is like, well, the person I'm living with doesn't want to go out, but I want to spend time with them. So it's like navigating all of those things.
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm very lucky in that. Like Dan and I have lived together for 7 years.
Yeah.
But we're both very independent people. And so, like, if I want to do something and he doesn't, that's fine. Like, I'll go do the thing.
Yeah.
You know, or if he wants to do something and I don't, that's fine. He'll go do the thing. And it's not, there's no negative feelings there. It's just we understand who the other is. And I think we both value our own independence, but also, like, each other's independence. And,
Yeah. It's a good way to be.
Yeah.
All right. These are questions for someone else. We'll do one more question, and then we'll do some fun wrap-up games. Do you, I feel like you've talked about this a bit, but like, do you have any personal fashion rules?
I try not to have any hard or fast rules because I think if you set rules, you set yourself up, like, you know, that you can't, I don't know, it puts too much barriers on you. Like, there are certain things, like, I won't wear heels. Like, if someone wants to dress me in heels for something, fine. Or if it's, like, a fun aesthetic thing, fine. But, like, I won't wear anything that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, like, I'm wearing a bra today. I wear my bra when I feel like it. I don't wear it most times. Because I don't feel like it. And that shouldn't be a problem for anyone else. Because they're my boobs. And if you don't like my boobs not in a bra, then don't look at my boobs.
It's also,
a pretty easy fucking solution.
Yeah.
You know? I think I kind of, like, I gravitate towards more colorful things. I don't think there's any colors that I wouldn't wear or anything like that. Like, I'm pretty open to things. Like, I will wear black and brown and gray and all those colors. But, like, if I'm going to, I'm going to probably bring something else into it. I don't really wear belts.
No,
I don't really like belts. Again, I think it's, like, a suffocation kind of
like, interesting.
You know, like, I like clothes that are close to the body, but I don't think I like anything that really cinches or, like, you know, restricts my body.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me very uncomfortable.
I find that belt thing interesting, but I also, if you're wearing high-waisted jeans, they fit better.
Yeah.
So I feel like it is, like, it's a lower, I think it is, like, the lower, like, mid to low rise.
Yeah.
Where that's where they start, like, snaking around on you.
Yeah.
Also, in a high-waisted pant, there is just that much more material in the rise, so that if it does go lower,
it's all good.
Your bum's not going to be hanging out and, like, all of that goodness. So, yeah, I was like, I wear belts, but then I'm also wearing high-waisted pants, and I'm not wearing a belt. But it's also because for me, traveling, it's like, that's one more thing I have to pack.
Yep.
So, the way I like to pack is, like, can this serve multiple purposes?
Oh, totally.
Like, if I'm packing something for an outfit.
Yeah.
Maybe I reconsider that outfit.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe I find some way to, like, incorporate that in.
Exactly.
So I'm not just bringing an accessory for an outfit.
Yeah. I had a roommate who had rules. Like, very clear rules. Like,
really?
Yeah. God love her. Like, you couldn't wear black and brown together. And you couldn't wear gold and silver together. Like, which are very old ideas, I think.
Yes.
You know? And I think she just carried that down probably from her mom. But, like, none of that ever made sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't like mixed patterns on the same, like, garment. Like, I will wear two different patterns with each other, but, like, when things get really busy within one article of clothing, I don't really like that.
I probably rather rudely, like, in my mind, I think of them as, like, Franken garments, but, like, for me, it's those ones where it's, like, the torso is one pattern, the sleeves are another.
Yeah.
I think because the quality isn't very good for most of the things I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Those shirts that it's like the whole back is lace, but it's like cheap acrylic lace. Or there's like lace peekaboo bits where I'm like, that could be really fun and really pretty, but like that's a cheap lace, like that's a cheap acrylic lace. Or like some other like poly versus being like a nice like silk satin or a cotton lace or something that could be like very pretty.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's just like
Yeah, I think I like I like nicely like cut clothing and like very like simple kind of lines and cuts.
Yeah,
because they allow like the color or like the pattern to kind of be the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not competing with it because like if something fits poorly, then it's just not going to be good no matter what it is.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, let's do this or that.
Okay,
stripes or plaid?
Stripes.
I mean, you are wearing stripes
right
now,
stripes,
so.
Yeah.
Also, you can elaborate on your answer, but you don't have to. Florals or polka dots?
I love both. I'll go polka dots, because florals can kind of go into different areas. So there's good florals, there's bad florals. I feel like it's really hard to find, like, a really bad polka dot.
Truly. Like, you do a big polka dot, it's
circle.
Fun. You do a small polka dot,
still
it's fun.
Yeah.
You do monochromatic, you do fun colors. It's all good.
Yeah.
Dressed up or dressed down?
Dressed up.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I already know the answer to this one. Heels or flats?
Definitely flats.
Yeah. Makeup or au naturel?
Most days au naturel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dress or pants?
Pants. pants most days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, again, just, like, a comfort thing. Like, you know, like, I can sit more comfortably in a pair of pants than I can in a dress.
True. Jean jacket or leather jacket?
Leather jacket.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love fabrics and textures and all those things. And leather, just, like, the smell. It's, like, a sensory experience.
Oh, you yeah. know? Minimalist or embellished?
Minimalist with touches of embellishment.
I feel like I'm in that vein as well, where I like a very simple outfit, yeah. but I want something fun
something
on
big
it.
And gaudy somewhere. Like, yeah. not all over, but just, like, one really gaudy, beautiful thing.
Yes, yeah, I've learned, I really love brooches.
Yes, I love brooches, too. They're a great jewelry accessory.
Where you're, like, just right here. Yeah.
And it doesn't interfere with the body.
Yeah. Malls or boutiques?
Boutiques.
Yeah. Online shopping or in-person shopping?
I do more in-person shopping.
Yeah.
But when I do online shopping, it's, like, I feel like it's not even really still online shopping. Like, I like to, like, load up my cart and then, like, not buy anything. Like, that's always a nice therapeutic thing.
I think that's
thing.
A common thing.
But I buy, like, when I do buy online, I buy more clothes from Instagram than I do, like, from websites and other places. Yeah.
Interesting. I did one of those recently where... someone, she will, like, consign, I think, her old stuff as well as her kids' old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just got a pair of earrings. But unfortunately, they're priced U.S. So, like, the conversion, I was like, whoops. Oh, well. Yeah. Like, I don't shop that often, so not the worst thing to do. All right. And then the final question. If you were a garment, what garment would you be?
I would be a dress made out of an old silk parachute.
Really? That's very specific.
I know. Like, you know, those big colorful ones that you play with in gym class?
Yeah.
I think I would be a repurposed, like, into a garment from one of those. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I see it. I can see it. What shape of dress do you think it would be?
Oh, like a tent dress.
Like a big full skirt?
Yep.
I feel like with that material,
flowy and movie. You'd have to, that imitates the...
Just, like, short of a caftan.
Yeah. I'd be that or a pair of, like, shiny boots.
Nice! Yeah.
But, like, combat boots.
I have a very good mental image of that.
Yeah.
And I like it. All right. Caitlin, if people would like to see your art or see what you're up to, are there places they can follow you, find you, all that good stuff?
I have a website. It's CaitlinMcGuireArt.ca. It's CaitlinMcGuire. And also, I'm on Instagram at CaitlinMcGuireArt as well.
Are there any underscores in that at all? Or
nope.
Is it just all
just
one?
Straight through.
Cool. Amazing. And for me, if you can follow on Instagram at TalkClothesPodcast, or you can email me at talkclothes@gmail.com, or you can also check out the website, letstalkclothespodcast.com, for notes, photographs, and other good content that I will wrangle together and put up there. And you can rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, Caitlin, for being on the show. It was so nice to catch up with you.
You too.
I haven't seen you in years. So this was wonderful.
Yeah, thanks for coming to Montreal.
Yeah. All right, and until next time, bye-bye. What did I hear from a friend that, like, a cat's always on the wrong side of a door?
Yes.
Oh, no. Guinness has attached himself to Dan.
So what happens when you have 14 toes.
Yeah. Truly.